Have your Bible or Bible app, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. I'm just going to read one small passage to begin today. All of today's notes can be found in the YouVersion Bible app if you're using that. So these are the words of Jesus, Mark 9, 23. He says, everything is possible for one who believes. Father, for the next few moments, I ask that you would give me the mind of Christ to present this message, God, the way you have intended it to be presented. Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name, without your anointing, this message will go nowhere. But God, if you anoint this message will change lives. God, and as we're talking about faith today and the assurance that you can do everything, you can do anything. God, that is my prayer for your people today, that we would leave this place with the confidence to know that with God, all things are possible. We give you praise for it in advance for what you're doing, what you're about to do, what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember nearly 7 years ago now, Kyla and I walked into this auditorium for the very first time. And I remember walking into this auditorium and walking up here onto this stage, and I remember glancing out over the pews, and I noticed that on the side aisles, the pews were all roped off. And if you've been here long enough, you probably remember that when the side aisles, the side pews were all roped off. Now, I knew right away why those pews were shut down. I didn't have to ask. You see, at that time, there wasn't a whole lot of people attending, and you have this huge building. So what it was is it was an attempt to move everyone closer together during service. And I it makes sense to me because I remember the days that we were lucky to have 70 people in this building back in those early days. It was so discouraging. You see, you take 70 people and you put them in a building that seats 100, and you are busting at the seams. You are celebrating the goodness of God. But you take those same 70 people and you put them in a building that seats 1,000, and it's depressing. I was told by many people that this building was a mistake. I was told that it should have never have been built, and I understand that because the debt of this building would cripple us for years. It still is. The dedication of this building was a glorious time, but then I'm told what followed the dedication, the celebration, this church would then go through 20 years of great struggle. But I remember walking into this building and I seen with my eyes the same thing that everyone else saw. What I seen with my eyes were the empty seats. What I seen with my eyes were the ropes blocking off the pews. And I tell you, after that was done, they stayed empty for a good 2 years after that, after we got here. But what I seen in my spirit was different. In my spirit, I seen this place flowed to overflowing. I seen people getting saved and set free for the glory of God. And I remember one of the first things that we did when we got here is I walked into this auditorium and I removed the ropes. And like I said, they sat empty for about 2 years. Every now and then you'd see someone come and straggle onto the side and they'd sit off to the side. But basically you just had a few people sitting out here in the middle. That's what I seen in my spirit. And so that's why when I came in here, one of the very first things I did was removed the ropes. Even though what I saw physically looked impossible, and I didn't have a clue how it was ever going to happen, I remembered the words of Jesus when he said, everything is possible to him who believes. And today I sit back and I can list the hundreds of miracles that we have seen. And if you've been here for a while, you can as well. The salvations we've seen, the baptisms we've seen, the growth we've seen, the miraculous provision we've seen, the uncommon favor that God has given us. I am actually seriously considering adding a second service here in the near future to help with our parking issues. Who would have ever thought we would be to that place? And not only has the vision that God has given me of this building being completely full to overflowing come to pass, but We've even had another couple hundred people in our chapel as the overflow room watching our service via the video. God has done even more than what I seen in my spirit that day. Look at what God has done. Everything is possible to him who believes. Do you believe that? Everything is possible to him who believes. I really want to try my best to increase your faith today and see that God can do all things. You see, there's one thing in my life that I have witnessed, and I've witnessed this in the lives of others that seem to experience common, regular miracles, and it's this. They seem to have an unshakable, unspeakable faith that God can do anything. And with God, there is nothing that is impossible. And I tell you all of this because I want to teach you a powerful truth today that will change your life. Everything we have done as a church was an act of faith on our part. It takes faith to believe that God can do anything. We can speak it. But believing it's another thing. Faith can be scary territory because faith requires God to act. Faith is not something you can accomplish on your own. It is something that looks impossible. All the miracles that we have witnessed, not one could have been accomplished on our own. It has only been by the hand of God. Like our food pantry, for instance. I've told you that story. I felt like God was saying, in the middle of a pandemic, I want you to open your food pantry 7 days a week to feed this city. And I go back there and there's 2 days worth of food on our shelves. I don't know where it's coming from. But God said it. And God, you said in your word that with you all things are possible. So here we go. Buckle up. I hope people buy, like Lynn said, I hope people drink the same Kool-Aid I'm drinking. Because I tell you what. You see, a lot of people say they have great faith and they can preach great faith, but their actions tell another story. And it's completely understandable because everyone has to answer the question themselves, what if I'm wrong? If I'm wrong, I'm going to look like a failure. And it's oftentimes this fear, the fear of failure that keeps us paralyzed on the sidelines. Do you think when I got up here and I said, we're going to open the food pantry 7 days a week and feed people, do you think I wasn't shaking? I'm going to look like the biggest fool in this city. But I know I've heard from God. And at this point, I'm like, if I look like the biggest fool in the city and they fire me, then I don't deserve to lead anyway if I miss God that much. Because I knew that I heard from him, and I didn't know how it was going to work, but I know that God can do all things. Now, it seems like some people are superstars when it comes to faith, but God never intended it to be that way. I'll prove it to you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So he said, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. God wants all of us, not just certain people, to be superstar of the faith. But it doesn't come easy. You see, we have this war going on. And on this battleground, faith is on one side, fear is on the other. I myself have to fight this battle. And there have been times in this battle that I have sided with fear. You have to choose which side you want to fight for. This is what I've experienced personally, and I found it to be true for most people. We just don't like to talk about it. When I choose to fight for the side of fear, I'm more comfortable. But I carry this sense of guilt that God has created me for so much more. Have you ever felt like that? I feel like I'm just created for so much more than what I'm doing right now. And I watch others walking in great faith, and I see the miracles they experience, and I sit back and I get disappointed in myself because I was too scared to act. So then I start to make excuses of why I couldn't step out in faith. And we talked about this a little bit last week if you were here. And I do this to justify my actions and efforts to make me feel better about my decision to side with fear. Again, this is just what I do, but I'm sure many of you can probably relate. However, when I choose to fight on the side of faith, I'm extremely uncomfortable. I'm awake when others are sleeping. I face battles that not others are facing. And so will you. This is what happens when you choose to fight on the side of faith. Because faith will require you to walk in uncharted territory. There is no handbook to follow. Faith will require you to walk into places that others have not walked. Faith will push you against the crowd. It'll cause you to do things that other people are not doing. I'm being real with you here, but when I'm walking in faith, my heart is usually racing because uncharted territory is scary. I never wake up in the morning with a smile on my face and say, I can't wait to step out in faith today and do something crazy for God. That sounds like fun. I never say that. No, when I step out in faith, every time my flesh is screaming at me, stop. Why? Because my flesh loves comfort. It loves the status quo. My flesh loves when I side with fear. But when I take the side of fear, my spirit grieves. On the flip side, my spirit loves when I take the side of faith. My flesh hates it. To give you a visual, this is kind of what it looks like for me. I'm the little kid there on the left. And that's the Holy Spirit there, the Father, just saying, hey, man, it's cool. Just chill. Just chill. I got this. And I'm like, man, I don't want to chill. I want to get out of this thing. But I think you can probably relate to that. My flesh hates stepping out in faith. You've probably noticed that as well. There's nothing different between you and I. Just because I'm a pastor, it means nothing. God is no respecter of persons. Furthermore, there's nothing different between you and I and the great heroes of faith that we read about in the Bible. Every one of them was ordinary, just like you and I. They had doubts. You read about them. They had sin. You read about them. They were just ordinary people that decided to pick up the sword and fight on the side of faith. They believed with everything inside of them that God could do anything. And because of that decision, they see miracles happen in their life. If you're not seeing miracles in your life, could it be that you're not walking in the realm of faith? Miracles exist in the realm of faith. You will not see miracles on the fear side. It is a choice. And a choice we all must make. I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I've preached on this particular passage before, but this lines up so perfectly with what I'm saying today. This is just, it's wonderful, the example here. So this is Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. It says, immediately he, which is Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, very important, fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, look, it's a ghost. They cried out in fear. Understand, they're in this big body of water. Imagine yourself in the middle of Lake Michigan. It's completely dark. The storm's coming in, beating against the side of the boat. You don't know what's going to happen, and all of a sudden you see this thing walking on the water towards you. The wind and the waves already have your emotions in check, and now you're seeing this. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Now watch this. This is phenomenal. Verse 30. But when he, Peter, He's walking towards Jesus right now. He saw the wind. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, if you go back and you read all of Matthew chapter 14, you'll see the context behind this. You'll see that Jesus just performed a miracle feeding several thousand people with just a few loaves of bread and a couple fish. Immediately after this miracle, Jesus instructs the disciples to get into the boat and get out of there. Verse 22 said that he says he insisted his disciples get into the boat. The word insisted here comes from the Greek word anakaizo, and it means to force. So in other words, Jesus forced his disciples into the boat. He was very determined to get them out of there. And if you read the same account of this, this story found in John chapter 6, you'll see the reason why he wanted to get the disciples out of there so quickly. John 6 and verse 14 says, "When the people saw him do the miraculous sign, multiplying the food, they exclaimed, 'Surely he is a prophet we've been expecting.' When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be their king, he slipped away into the hills by himself." So after Jesus performed this miracle, the people were ready to crown him their king right then and right there, which was not the will of God. And as you can imagine, there was a tremendous amount of excitement in the crowd. And if the disciples got caught in this frenzy, it's going to be a very difficult situation to get out of. So Jesus very quickly forces his disciples into the boat. He tells them to get out of there, and then he separates himself from the crowd. He sends the people away. He heads off to get alone with the Father. Jesus is praying. It gets dark. The disciples are in this boat in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Storm kicks in. Large waves start hitting the side of the boat. They begin to panic. They're out in this large body of water, the dark of night, in the middle of a storm. And I believe that there might be some people listening to this morning that can relate to this, but on a personal level. You feel like you're trapped in a boat in the middle of nowhere in a large body of water, and it's dark. The waves are overpowering. Life is overpowering. And you feel like your boat is about to sink. You have no hope left. You don't know how much more of this you can take. And fear has overtaken you. And when fear overtakes you, what I have noticed is it causes us not to see things clearly. We don't see things in the right perspective when we're operating in fear. Look at what happens. Jesus is walking to them on the water and they don't even recognize him. They cry out, "It's a ghost." You see, it's difficult for us to see God when life is, quote unquote, dark. It's difficult for us to see God when we're walking in the midst of a storm. It's difficult to see God working when you feel like you're going to drown. It's in these moments of life that doubt begins to creep in. We begin to question what we believe. We begin to question if God even cares. But I want you to know, just like with the disciples that night, he is there. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He never will leave you. He never will forsake you. Now look at this. The storm is raging. But Jesus does not come out and reveal himself to the disciples until we read it, the fourth watch of the night. The fourth watch of the night is 3 a.m. to sunrise. Basically, it's the last hours before the dawn. And I want you to know that if you are walking through a dark period of life right now, the sun always rises after the fourth watch of the night. And for some of you, it's been a long season of dark, and you feel like you're going to drown. It's in the fourth watch of the night where you feel like you want to give up the most. And we talked about this last week. It's going to be in the fourth watch of the night when you feel like you can't go on anymore. It's the fourth watch of the night that marriages fall apart. The fourth watch of the night is when you lose your income. The fourth watch of the night is when the funds in the bank account run dry. It's a time of darkness. It's a time of fear. But I want you to know that if you are currently in the fourth watch of the night, the dawn of a new day is next. It's coming. And it's usually in that moment, In the fourth watch of the night, when you feel like you can't go on anymore, that God shows up miraculously, walking on the water, speaking the words, hey, don't be afraid, take courage, because I am here. Now look at what Peter says. Peter speaks up and says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture just because of the life lesson here. It's so phenomenal. Now, it's important to understand something. Peter had never walked. He knew he can't walk on water. He knew he was asking God to do something that was impossible. But it didn't stop him from asking because he also knew something else. He knew that if God spoke, all he had to have was a word from God, and the impossibility of walking on the water would become possible. Because he believed that with God, all things are possible. And once Peter has this word from God, we see him take action. When Jesus said, come, it would have been so easy for him just to stay in the boat. It would have been easy to stay in the place that was familiar. You see, the boat was a place of comfort. To step out of the boat would mean he would have to step into new territory that he'd never been in before. Not only new territory, but impossible territory. Walking on the water, this obedience would defy the laws of nature. This is not something he can do on his own. In order for him to walk on the water and see this miracle, God would have to move. There's no other explanation. Peter takes action. Listen to me, action is proof of faith. We can say, like I said earlier, we can say we have faith, we can preach faith, but faith is always shown through our actions. I'm going to prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the faith chapter. Just want you to see a few verses. Chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. It's talking about Abel's offering. What is that? That's action. 11 verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah constructing the ark was action. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Again, him leaving, him walking, him moving was an act of faith. It doesn't make sense. I can't see the finish line, but I have this faith that God has spoken. And we could keep going. Read that entire chapter. You're going to read of others. You see, true faith is when we respond with action to the word that God has spoken. So first, Peter moves one leg over the boat. He moves the other leg over the boat. He heard the word of God. He's taking action. And it's that moment that he takes action that the impossible becomes possible, and he starts walking on the water. But as he's walking in faith, something happens. And this is something that happens to all of us when we begin to obey the voice of God and venture into new territory. Trust me, been there, done it, got the t-shirt. As he's walking towards Jesus, what do we read in Scripture? He notices the wind. Of course, he knows the wind's blowing. Some translations say he noticed the wind and the waves. He knows the waves are hitting the boat. But as he's walking towards Jesus, he notices the waves. What does that mean? He notices the problems. You see, as you step out into the unknown, you better believe that problems are going to arise. Problems are going to arise that you've never dealt with before. Problems will begin to surface, and you will begin to second guess what God has said. You are moving into the impossible. Just like Peter, if you choose to take your eyes off the one that spoke the word and you focus instead on the winds and the waves, if you focus on the problems, just like Peter, you will start to sink. Let me tell you something. When you're walking into the impossible, there will always be wind and waves. The wind and the waves are what cause fear to rear its ugly head. And it's up to us to keep our eyes focused on the one who spoke the word. God said to Moses, "Stretch your hand over the sea." Moses obeyed. He responded with action, and the sea parted. Picking up a stick over the water and expecting the water to part looks impossible, but he obeyed. When God gave a word to Joshua and told him to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 days and give a shout in obedience to the word, he obeyed, and the impossible became possible. The walls of that mighty city came crumbling down. Listen to this. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. I'm going to try to bring all this together for you now. It says, "So faith comes from hearing, hearing through the word of Christ." So how does faith come? Faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? The word of Christ. What is the word of Christ? Now check this out. Watch this. Word here is translated from the Greek word rhema, which literally means that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. With that in mind, take a look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you study this passage, you will see word in John chapter 1 and verse 1 is from a different Greek word. Here the word is logos or logos, however you want to pronounce that. Different people pronounce it different ways. Logos means, L-O-G-O-S, means message or expression of thought. So logos is the message as a whole. Rhema is the communication of the message. Rhema is more personal. Think about it like this. In reference to the Bible as a whole, logos would be the Bible as a whole. It's the message. But rhema is like a verse out of the Bible. It's a specific word for a specific time. You see, times when I feel like I'm inadequate, which I do sometimes, times when I feel like I'm in over my head, I turn to Philippians 4:13, and it says, "For I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength." And when I read this, I get a new fire in my bones. It encourages me. My faith increases. Why? Because it's a rhema word. You see, faith comes when that rhema word of God is spoken. It's a word directly from heaven to you. And when you receive that word, everything changes. And this is why it's so important for us, and I've harped on this before, that we should memorize scriptures. Because there will be times that you're going through something, like maybe some of you are right now, and you feel defeated, you feel like you have no hope left, and then all of a sudden, God will bring that rhema word back to memory, and through the rhema word, your faith will rise. Because faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. Faith comes through the rhema word. And the rhema word I want you to hear today is this: with God, all things are possible. That's the rhema word I want you to hear today. Sam, if you could go ahead and come on up. I'm going to close with this. I want you to imagine there's a fire in the upper section of a house. As the people gather to the street below, they see this child in the window of the room. There's a room that's on fire right next to this child that's in the window. He's trapped. Fire trucks are at least 5 minutes away, and so they're probably going to be too late to help. How's the child going to escape? Now, suppose in the same neighborhood there lives a very large man. He's well known for his great strength and his athletic ability, and he arrives at the scene, and he shouts up to the child, "Drop into my arms. Don't be afraid. I will catch you." So the child looks down and sees the man. He sees physically that he's there. He also knows the strength of this man. That doesn't take any faith. I can see that. True faith comes in the jump. True faith says, if I jump, he will catch me. I have no doubts. So here I go. I'm going to jump. You see, faith is jumping, taking a big risk for God, believing He will catch you. And it's oftentimes the fear of the catch that keeps us on the sideline. But what if God doesn't catch me? But He will, because with God, all things are possible. It's time to take a leap, whatever God has called you to do. This church has been built on faith. The reason you've seen everything that you've seen is just because we have walked in faith. It's because we believe, the elders believe, that with God, all things are possible. Is it scary? Yes, it's scary. But you'll never regret it. You'll never regret walking on the side of faith. I want you to know that our best days are not behind us. Our best days are still in front of us. But if we're going to continue to move forward as a church, we have to keep stepping out in faith and believing with God all things are possible. Not some things, all things. God can do all things. Whatever you're going through right now, God can do all. This is the Rhema word I want you to hear. Whatever you're facing right now, God can do all things. Your situation looks impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. God can do all things. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I thank You for this word from You today. As God, I believe, Holy Spirit, even now You are moving on the not only the people in this room, but those that are watching online. And God, I believe that there's some people that have a great call on their life, but they have ran from it because they're afraid. What if I fail? God, I want You to speak. I just ask, God, that You would speak as they leave this place, as they go into this week, that those words would keep resonating in their mind. With God, all things are possible. God, that is my prayer. Because, God, when we truly believe that as a church, You will use us to change this city. This isn't just a one-person thing or a two-person. This is a church thing, God. And what You can do through the lives of people that believe with God all things are possible is literally city changing. And so, God, I thank You for that in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed.